So today, continuing on the same subject of the glories of the Holy Name and taking shelter of the Holy Name, we will read one of the many verses in Bhakti Shastri, part of the Vedic literature, one of the many verses from Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying the Holy Name. But it is a very special verse because it is the final verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will read from Canto 12, Chapter 13, Text 23. This is the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how Srimad Bhagavatam ends. So please, let's repeat invocational mantra.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And one of my intentions for today is to make you learn this verse by heart. Actually, Sanskrit is very easy. And to help you with it, first, before we repeat the Sanskrit verse as such, we'll repeat synonyms.
Nama Sankirtanam.
The congregational chanting of the Holy Name.
Yasya,
of whom?
Sarva Papa,
all sins.
Pranashanam,
which destroys.
Pranamaha,
the bowing down.
Dukha,
misery.
Shamana,
which subdues.
Tam,
to him.
Namami,
I offer my obeisances.
Harim,
to Lord Hari.
Param,
the Supreme. So, almost all the words are very familiar, right, to most of you. So let's chant responsively this text.
Nama Sankirtanam Yasya.
Nama Sankirtanam Yasya.
Sarva Papa Pranashanam.
Sarva Papa Pranashanam.
Pranama Dukkha Shamana.
Pranama Dukkha Shamanas.
Tam Namami Harim Param.
Tam Namami Harim Param.
Nama Sankirtanam Yasya.
Sarva Papa Pranashanam.
Pranama Dukkha Shamanas.
Tam Namami Harim Param. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material miseries. There is no purport to this verse, because the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is the purport. And therefore, we will look at this verse in a very traditional way, in the same way as Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas did, by reflecting unto each word separately. So this verse says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. Nama is, of course, the holy name. And we all know what is Sankirtan. Sankirtan is congregational glorification of the holy name. Yasya, of whom we all know whose holy name we are chanting. And that's reflected in the end of this verse, Hari. Hari means the Lord who takes away everything inauspicious. So sometimes, you know, in mundane religious life, most of the people who come to God, what do they come to God for? To gain something, to get something, right? I'll drop a little coin in your donation box and you'll give me a nice Mercedes-Benz. I'll offer you a little incense and you'll give me a nice, bungalow somewhere in Pacific. So, maybe not everyone is that ambitious, but that reflects the idea that I come to the Supreme Lord to get something. But the Lord is known as Hari. Krishna is known as Hari. And Hari means one who is taking away. And the word Hari has many meanings. One of the meanings is lion, because lion is taking away. And we know that the Supreme Lord also appeared as a lion, half man, half lion, Nara Hari. And Hari also means thief, one who is stealing. And as we know, Krishna exhibited such traits of character from very early age. He was very fond of stealing. Krishna is a very interesting character anyway, right? Sometimes people are asking, you know, whom are you worshipping, you know? Since, just look at his background, just look at his biography. You know, was born in prison. Since an early age, was involved in stealing butter and everything. Other milk products. When he grew up, he didn't just, you know, what to say, limited himself by stealing. He went on to killing, and he was killing pretty much his whole life. It's very interesting that most of the time, if you look at different famous people, right? Those who made it into the history of this world. Many of those people are, you know, killers. Those who killed like thousands, millions of people. So those people made it into history. Somehow Krishna is not an exception from this rule. And Krishna probably killed more in his 125 years of staying on this planet than anybody else. But there is a difference, though, that Krishna's killing, as well as Krishna's stealing, as well as any of Krishna's activity, is beneficial for everybody. And actually, Krishna consciousness, sometimes we wonder, you know, that Krishna consciousness is so nice and why don't we have more people joining it and practicing it? But not everyone is eligible. Not everyone is qualified because you have to be very intelligent. That this is what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, Say Boro Chatur, that means this person has very high level of intelligence. Because it's not very, it's not very easy to penetrate through so many mysteries in Krishna consciousness, right? For example, how this is possible that the Supreme Lord is stealing and killing and it's all so beneficial for everybody. And it's hard to understand it theoretically, what to speak of practically. Sometimes we may think, okay, that something, you know, someone has a kind of hard experience, okay, we understand it's good for that person. But when we go through hard experience ourselves, for some reason, it's not so easy to recognize that it's beneficial for us. And as we know, the life is an interesting thing, right? In Russia they say the life is like a striped, you know, life has stripes, right? That dark stripe, light stripe, dark stripe, light stripe. So it's like an American flag, right? Has white stripes and blue stripes. And so sometimes in life we have, and of course today we have the most important day for the whole country, right? Independence Day. Actually, the day when America was born, we can say the day when the country was created. And so this is what American flag has. White stripe and white stripes and blue stripes. And so sometimes we have white stripe period we go through in our life, and it's very sweet, like an ice cream. Ice cream is very white and very pleasing, and we enjoy it. But then suddenly we go through the blue stripe period, and out of the blue we get a thunderbolt on our head, and we wonder, you know, what's happening, right? And if you believe in God, and if you know that nothing happens without the will of the Lord, you may wonder, you know, like, why God allowed something that bad to happen to such a nice person like me, right? But the reality is, if we really understand what's going on, we will understand that it's not a blue stripe phase in our life. It's actually white, but on the surface it's covered with the blueberry, you know, glazing. That's why it appears blue. So, and this is why so many great devotees, they don't mind to go through troubles, right? And sometimes they even pray for the troubles in their lives. Like Kunti Devi, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is, we're reflecting on the third line of the verse, Pranama Dukkha Shamanas, that the dukkha or miseries are mitigated by pranam, by offering our respects to the Supreme Lord. So Queen Kunti says, Vipada Shantutashashva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru, that let those calamities come again and again. Why is she praying for that? And then she explains, when calamities come, you also come to help us out. Because as anyone who knows Mahabharata knows very well that whenever Pandavas were getting in trouble, Krishna would immediately come and help them out, right? And then Kunti Devi says, let those calamities come, because with calamities you also come. And we can see you, and when we see you, that is our guarantee that we will not see repeated birth and death anymore. Because this is the ultimate calamity, material existence. And so Krishna is helping us. Krishna is very merciful to all his devotees. And he allows devotees to go through calamity for a very good reason. Krishna doesn't do anything without a good reason and without benefiting the devotee. And so what is the main reason? Krishna wants his devotees to become free from the influence of repeated births and deaths. And so this is very important for us to understand. And I'm sure, if not all of you, at least most of you had that practical experience in your Krishna consciousness when things are, you know, very pleasing and everything comes your way, right? It says that if everything comes your way, you're probably in the wrong lane. But people don't think like that, right? When everything comes my way, I really enjoy life, right? And please remember that, period in your life when everything is, you know, like in a dream. Can you easily remember Krishna at that time? Yes or no? Not really. You just think, oh, life is nice, let me enjoy, right? Krishna is there, but Krishna has already provided me with all the benefits, so Krishna did his job. Now I don't really require him so much. But when the problems come, when the calamities come, if you reflect on that period in your life, was it easy to remember Krishna? How many of you would say that it was easy to remember Krishna at the time, right? Yeah. Maybe sometimes we were thinking, oh Krishna, why have you done that? Krishna, what's wrong? Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. And Krishna is smiling and saying, yes, this is why I did that to you. Because you were forgetting about me, so I helped you to remember. Remember myself, because this is how you can advance spiritually. And so this is very important. There is a saying, a proverb, that those who remember God when they are in trouble, they get out of trouble. But those who remember God when they are out of trouble, they will never get in trouble. And this does not mean that, you know, calamities will never happen. It does not mean if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll never grow old, that you'll never have any disease, and you'll never have to leave your body. But by the power of Krishna consciousness, your attitude and your perception changes, and you become transcendental to all those so-called calamities of the material world. If you are completely Krishna conscious, you will be, you know, saying, bring it on. Let it be. It's all right. And so that's why we see great devotees voluntarily, they go through austerities for the sake of Krishna, because they know that this is the best situation when I can really remember the Supreme Lord and surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Of course, it doesn't mean that we have to risk our life unnecessarily, but, you know, some amount of hardships, volunteer hardships, is very good for our Krishna consciousness. So devotee's perception of life is completely opposite to materialistic perception of life, right? That when devotee is in a very difficult and troublesome situation, he is thanking Krishna for his special mercy. And when devotee is in a very comfortable situation, he is very concerned. What's happening? Krishna doesn't like me anymore. He wants me to forget him. So, whereas materialists are other way around. And so, this is how we can become actually happy in Krishna consciousness. And of course, this verse is focusing on specific aspects of Krishna consciousness, which starts with the chanting of the holy name. Namasankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam. It says, when you chant the holy name, sarva papa pranashanam. Sarva means all, papa means sin, pranashanam means destroyed. Not only destroyed, nasha means to destroy in Sanskrit language, and pra is prefix which in Sanskrit language referred to as prakrishta rupena, that the prefix which amplifies the meaning of the word or strengthens the meaning of the word, right? So if nashana or nasha is to destroy, destroyed, pranasha means completely destroyed, right? Like you can break something into pieces and then maybe you can, you know, like glue the pieces together and have, you know, something like the thing, you know, before, some resemblance of it. But if you crush it into dust, there is no chance to, you know, put it back in the same shape, right? So breaking into pieces would be nashana, and crushing into dust would be pranashana. So, and it says, sarva papa pranashana. All the sins are completely destroyed, crushed into, you know, pulp or dust, whatever. And sometimes we may think, oh, if it is so, then why I'm still attached to certain maybe sinful activities, why I'm still thinking about them. But if you consider the power of the holy name, if you just think about yourself, of course, if you were born in the movement in Krishna consciousness, or you were lucky enough to be born in a very pious Indian family where people still follow the culture, then maybe in that case it's not very difficult for you to follow regulative principles, right? But if you are not that lucky and you come from sinful background, then, you know, just think about it. How in the world did I manage to follow, do I manage to follow the regulative principles? Because it's not easy. I mean, look at the people. People are struggling so much that just to give up like one bad habit, even smoking or something or drinking, you know, they struggle so much. And if someone succeeds in that, and becomes very determined to follow that principle, whatever, even if it is not a complete principle. Some people follow like half principle, right? For example, someone might be drinking but not smoking. So in principle, one never smokes, right? And that person becomes a legend, legendary amongst his friends. People say, you know, he is so principled, it's mad. You know, he never smokes, even if he is completely drunk. You try to get him smoke, he'll never do that, right? So even if someone follows like half principle, then this person is considered to be like very principled person, right? But to follow four regulative principles, to an extent we do, people think it's so unimaginable that they think we're crazy. They think no one in the right mind would be able to, you know, be so principled. And you may even reflect on yourself, how do I manage to follow all these things? How did I manage to drop all this? And many of us don't even remember, like, okay, you did something and then you just stopped it. And you don't even think about it. Or maybe sometimes you think about it, but then you still carry on. Where did you get that strength? And there are so many people who start practicing Krishna consciousness, they completely change their lives around. Sometimes from extremely sinful life into completely pious life. This is the power of the holy name. And even if someone practicing Krishna consciousness for like a very short time, still it gives him so much purification. Like some years back, there was one boy who was addicted to drinking, and he joined the temple, and because he decided to change his lifestyle, and he started chanting Hare Krishna and everything, and then he stayed for a few months and then he had that desire in the mind to continue drinking, and then he decided, okay, Krishna consciousness is too strict for me, so let me go back to my previous lifestyle. And he did. But the funny thing was, when he, started drinking again, he would never get drunk. He would get poisoned instead. And he was like sick, like a dog, and never enjoyed it. And no matter how much he tried, he got the same effect. And he was so disturbed. Because previously, that same activity gave him pleasure. Now it gave him only misery. And he actually complained, to someone, I don't know, that, I got involved in this terrible cult, and now even drinking doesn't give me any happiness. And, maybe spoke, had some coaching with some mundane psychiatrist or something. And then, he was advised, just keep doing that, you'll, finally get the taste. And I think he had to like practice very, very persistently drinking for at least 1 year before he finally got drunk. And then, they published a big newspaper article with this, drunk boy, and the caption saying that saved from the, clutches of the cult. Finally, he managed to get back into normal life. But, just consider, just a few months, like very short time in the temple of chanting and following everything. And he became so purified that it took him, such a long time before he could condition himself again. And actually, we know from real life stories, there were so many devotees who tried, because, they had kind of mental taste. They were thinking, oh, those things I used to enjoy were also nice, and then they tried to go back to it. No one succeeded. they all come back. And they tell the horror stories how they, you know, have everything. That's an amazing thing. That if someone wants to enjoy material nature after practicing Krishna consciousness, Krishna fulfills desires. He gives everything. And then they try to enjoy, and the more they try to enjoy, the more miserable they become. And then they realize, okay, it's hopeless. So they go back to devotee association. There are so many stories like that. Because it's finished. I don't know if it is a good or bad news for you, but since you started chanting Hare Krishna, your material life is finished. There is no chance. You can try, even though we don't recommend it, you know. Better you take our advice and learn from the examples of others who tried. So, since you've started chanting Hare Krishna, that's it. There is no return. It's one-way ticket to the spiritual world. Because that's it, sarva papa pranashanam, that all the sins are eliminated forever. And so one will become Krishna conscious sooner or later. And so just to make your life easier, we don't even recommend to try, you know, enjoying old material tastes, because it will only bring misery. And this is, of course, you know, talking about the negative side of kind of eliminating negative effects of the material life through the power of chanting of the holy names. But we can see that, how it is happening in our lives. And, of course, we have, as we were mentioning yesterday, we have extra blessings from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that not only we become liberated, because before the holy name would bring one to the stage of liberation. But now, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we go beyond liberation. We go forward to achieve the supreme benefit in human life, which is Krishna Prema. So, as we know, the chanting of the holy names goes through three stages. It is very interesting, and it's also very important for us to understand. Srila Prabhupada explains that very clearly in his historic series of Nectar of Devotion lectures. He explains that there are three stages in chanting of the holy name, and the first stage is Namaparat, offensive chanting, and second one is Namabas, purification stage, and third and foremost stage is Shuddhanam. And so Srila Prabhupada explains that depending on the stage one's in, one gets different benefits from the chanting of the holy name. Regardless of one's stage, one still benefits. But the benefits from chanting the holy name offensively, Namaparad, are fulfillment of all material desires and consequent miseries. This is why devotees are not interested in it. And it's very interesting to note how Krishna consciousness is different from mundane religions, because Krishna consciousness starts where all the material or mundane religions end, right? That's why the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Dharma Prajita Kaitavatra Paramonir Matsaranam Satam, that completely rejecting all mundane religiosity, this Bhagavat Purana declares the highest truth, which for the welfare of all, which can be understood by only those devotees who are completely freed from envy. Nirmatsaranam. And so, if you ask those people who follow religions for mundane, purposes, they would be, dreaming of achieving maximum material benefits and going to the heavenly planets, right? They want God to fulfill their desires. That's why they come to God. And this topmost achievement in any mundane religion comes to a very neophyte devotee who chants the holy name offensively. Is it not amazing? All material desires become fulfilled. But devotee is not interested in that because he understands that the fulfillment of material desires, what's the problem with it? That first problem is that I may forget about Krishna. That's the first big problem. And second big problem is material enjoyment ends in misery. And therefore devotee is very careful about asking Krishna to fulfill his material desires, asking Krishna to allow him to enjoy sense gratification. And there is one story about it, that one man is walking through the forest, through like jungles, and then suddenly he is seeing a devotee under the tree chanting the holy name, his japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And then he says, what are you doing here? And then devotee explains to him, oh, these are the holy names of the Lord I'm chanting. Why do you do that? Well, devotee says, there are so many benefits I derive, including love of God, my relationship with the Lord, purification. And the man says, that's all useless. These are not good reasons to waste your time like that. Better get yourself a job. I don't know how many times devotees heard that, right? Get yourself a job, especially brahmacharis, right? And so this kind of mentality this man had, and he said, just get yourself a job. Why are you wasting your time aiming at something, esoteric, at something, kind of unexplainable? And devotee is saying, well, if you would get money for chanting Hare Krishna, would you do that? And the man says, of course I would. And devotee says, very nice. So if I'll pay you one golden coin for each round of japa, would you chant it? And the man says, yeah, sure. I mean, a golden coin, which costs a lot of money, just in a few minutes, that's not a bad wage, right? And so the man became very enthusiastic, so he sat under the tree and he chanted around, and then devotee dropped a gold coin in front of him. And man became more enthusiastic, he started chanting even faster, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Devotee dropped another golden coin. So like that, it was going on and on and on and on, and you can just imagine the enthusiasm of this man that, the pile of gold was, becoming higher and higher in front of his eyes. And he was dreaming, oh my God, my life will completely change, with this gold I can do so many things. But then as he was chanting, his consciousness was becoming a little bit purified. and he was getting from the lower modes, passion and ignorance, into goodness. And common sense started awakening. Srila Prabhupada was saying, Krishna consciousness is 90% common sense. Right? So it's very important for us. Unfortunately, as Voltaire, great writer of the past, noticed, common sense is not very common. But by the power of the chanting, that man, you know, because chanting is pure goodness, it's Shuddha Sattva, holy name of the Lord, non different from the Lord. And so, by that power, his consciousness started rising to the higher mode, and he started getting his common sense back, and he was thinking, oh my God, I'm sitting here in the middle of the jungle, alone, with this pile of gold in front of me, and how in the world will I carry that gold? I mean, if someone will see me with that gold, they will kill me. They'll take my life for that gold. So it's really dangerous. It's kind of resembles the story of Sanatan Goswami and how many? 10 golden coins his servant had, Ishan. Anyway, you know, that man, he had the same thoughts. He thought, if I carry all this gold on me, I cannot even pack it. I don't have, you know, something to pack it in. So definitely I'll be robbed and probably killed. And so it's a, you know, lethal, baggage. I better don't take my chances. And then he turned to the devotee and he said, you know, I changed my mind actually. You can keep that gold. I'm okay. I don't need all these golden coins. And the devotee said, well, you know, I was exactly like you when I came across a devotee here in the jungle. And he walked away. And I was chanting here for so long, just waiting for someone to come by. And now I am going, and you are sitting here waiting for somebody else. So like that. Anyway, you know, fulfillment of the material desires, it's not a big deal at all for anyone who is chanting the holy names. But it's the bottom level of the benefits. But the one who is even little bit serious about chanting of the holy names, it's called namabhas, when devotee is chanting, trying to chant attentively and avoiding offenses, then the benefit one gets from this chanting is liberation. And what does it mean, liberation? Liberation means that devotee becomes unaffected by any circumstances in this world. Devotee becomes transcendental. And it's really amazing. We can see there are so many examples in scriptures and in Vaishnava history of so many devotees who were completely transcendental to the external circumstances. One example which is very vivid and which comes to mind is Haridas Thakur, right? Of course, he was chanting pure holy name, Shuddhanam, but, you know, if you get the topmost benefit, all the lower benefits are also included into the package, right? So because he was chanting pure name, he was also liberated from material circumstances, and he didn't care that he was beaten at the 22 marketplaces. He just kept chanting. So this is a very clear example how devotees become completely immune to the very adverse circumstances. So this is the stage of liberation from all material association, as Bhagavad Gita says. And of course, The topmost benefit, pure love of God, is coming when devotee is chanting pure holy name. And so he gets so many benefits by that. There are unlimited benefits which come through chanting of the holy names. And I was thinking that there is an easy acronym to meditate on the four special benefits coming from the chanting of the holy name, which can be expressed through the word life. So if someone will ever ask you, what are you getting by chanting Hare Krishna, you can say, I'm getting life. So what is life? It's an acronym, and L stands for love. And this is not any type of love, but this is the love of the Supreme Lord. I mean, we may not claim right now, if we are not advanced enough, that we have love of God yet. But we can claim, I'm sure many of you would agree, that we actually feel and see in our lives how Krishna loves us. Anyone can agree with that? That you have love of Krishna. Krishna's love is available for you. Krishna is showing your love towards you. Okay. And so, this is the first benefit, Krishna's love. And through that, we'll definitely develop at least gratitude towards Krishna, if not pure love. And what I stands for? I stands for immortality. That devotee becomes immortal. Even in this lifetime, devotee doesn't have to wait for the next lifetime to achieve the immortality. Even in this lifetime, devotee will not die. We say that devotees are leaving their bodies, right? Because death is not end of everything. You know, that I've heard that there was a movie with the title Everything is Lost. So I think it's a very good title for the material life. Everything is lost. And so at the moment of death, this is how materialist feels. Everything is lost. My God. You know, if we lose even something, you know, even our wallet or something, or bank card, we become so disturbed, what to speak of losing, like what one little part of our body. Like one devotee in Los Angeles, Prabhupada disciple, he got infection on his foot and one of his toes, and then the doctor says, well, you got a gangrene, so that toe has to be removed. And he was, you know, not very happy, of course, with that news. And the doctor was joking with him, oh, why are you worrying, you know, just removing this toe, you have 10 of them, so if we remove one, you still have 9 left. And he said, well, doctor, you know, you are joking like that because it's not your toe, it's my toe. Anyway, if we lose even one little part of our body, we become so disturbed. But what is death? Death means you lose everything. All your bank cards, your house, everything, your family members, and every single part of your body is lost, right? So death means everything is lost. So this is how materialists perceive death. But what is the perception devotee has? For devotee, everything is gained, right? For devotee, so-called death is the beginning of real life. Devotee thinks, oh, thanks Krishna, I'm out of this prison house of material existence, and I'm out of this, you know, bag of bones and other unspeakable substances, and I'll start my real life, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And so, therefore, devotees don't die. They actually become immortal even before this body perishes. And so, what is F? F stands for freedom. Right? This is something which this country is very proud of. Statue of Liberty is greeting people who are coming to this country. And so, people are very proud of freedom they have, but what kind of freedom they have? They don't even have freedom from bad habits, right? They are slaves of their own bad habits. But devotees, by the power of Krishna consciousness, they can easily become free from bad habits. Just think of how many troubles you saved yourself from by following four regulative principles, right? I mean, every regulative principle, and, you know, the list of troubles is almost endless, right? But we are free from that by Krishna's mercy. Why? Because we have higher taste. That's why we can easily give up lower taste. And if you are free from bad habits, automatically you're free from bad association. I mean, if you don't drink, you don't smoke, many people who are addicted to that, those habits, they don't know what to do with you, how to associate with you. So, you know, you automatically become free from bad association. So devotee enjoys so many types of freedom in Krishna consciousness. And what is E, the last letter? That's enlightenment. You can see practically that devotees, because of the dint of spiritual knowledge and realization, they become so enlightened that they sing and dance every day. Right? And devotees practically are only people who go out to sing and dance in the street. Right? And devotees like to smile and they look very happy. Srila Prabhupada was walking one time, you know, on his morning walk in London, and then one policeman, he saw Srila Prabhupada, and Shyama Sundar Prabhu was kind of walking back, so he caught up with him. He said, "Who is that old man?" And Shyama Sundar Prabhu said, "Well, this is my guru." And policeman said, "It's amazing. This man is glowing like a sun." Even ordinary policemen notice that. So this is enlightenment, that the more we become purified in Krishna consciousness, the more we become enlightened to such an extent that we literally emanate light of the soul, because soul is light. And so the more you develop spiritually, the more light you have. And the more light you have, naturally, the more life you have, and then this life becomes eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So, of course, the list is unlimited. We're just mentioning, you know, it's just a sample. Sample benefits from Krishna consciousness, but they give us real life. You know, we stop existing in the material world and we start living our real life. So this is what Krishna consciousness is, and it begins and it develops, and it is supported all the way through by the chanting of Nama Sankirtan, congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And today we have a very special day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, is it appearance or disappearance? Yeah, it's disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he wrote very wonderful book, which is called Harinam Chintamani. Harinam means holy name of the Lord Hari, and Chintamani means a touchstone, a stone which can fulfill any desire. And in this book, through the mouth of Haridas Thakur, you know, these great souls like Bhaktivinod Thakur, they have such a level of enlightenment, they can actually go back in time. You know, they don't even need time machine to do that. And they can actually witness directly the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the conversation with his confidential devotees such as Haridas Thakur. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about, that Harinama Chintamani is the recording of the direct conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur, and so it's really amazing. And Haridas Thakur explains, you know, Lord Chaitanya is asking him to explain about the glories of the holy name, even though Lord Chaitanya, of course, is the best authority on it, but in the same way as he did with Ramananda Rai, he is asking Haridas Thakur to speak. And Haridas Thakur is, of course, very humbled, but fulfilling the desire of the Lord, he explains the glories of the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya is listening in full ecstasy. And one of the most striking points, which is very important for us, Haridas Thakur makes, he gives an analogy. In the same way as the seed of a tree, such as banyan tree, and banyan tree, for those of you who don't know, is very big. It can grow into the whole forest. But the seed of the banyan tree is very, very small. If you never saw the seed of banyan tree, I'm sure you've seen the seed of a fig, right? So fig fruit has plenty of seeds, and they're really, really small. And actually banyan belongs to the same family of trees, like fig tree. And Haridas Thakur explains that in the same way as a banyan seed is containing the entire tree, huge banyan tree, in the same way the holy name, because it's Krishna himself, is containing the entire spiritual world. So, and by the chanting of the holy name, the entire spiritual world unfolds in front of your eyes. So you're entering into Krishna's abode by chanting the holy name of Krishna, as it is very nicely illustrated in the wonderful book of Srila Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And so we can understand that we are really, really fortunate to be on this lifetime journey, epic journey, back home, back to Godhead. And our enthusiasm is to invite as many people as we can to join us on this journey. So, thank you all very much. Shala Prabhupada ki jai. Shala Bhaktivinod Thakur ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.